And I'd like to welcome everyone to the Ordinary Council meeting for the month of April. Welcome to councillors, senior staff and members of the public gallery. I'd like to begin by acknowledging the Palawarpakana, Tasmanian Aboriginal community, as the traditional and original owners of the skies, land and water of Lutruwita, and forward our respects to their elders both past and present. Brighton Council acknowledges the continued connection the Tasmanian Aboriginal people still have to the skies, land and water of Lutruwita that provides them with the food, medicine and craft celebrated through ceremony today. Item 2 is attendance and everyone is present. Item 3 is applications for leave of absence. There is no requirement for that. Item 4 is confirmation of minutes, and item 4.1 is confirmation of minutes of the Ordinary Council meeting held on the 21st of March 2023. Is there any questions or any amendments?
No.
Any discussion? If not, can someone move? Moved by Councillor Gedd, seconded by Councillor Curran. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 4.2 is a planning authority meeting. And we have a recommendation that the minutes from the Planning Authority meeting on the 12th of April be confirmed. Is there any question or any amendments? If not, can I ask for someone to move? Moved by Councillor Whelan, a seconder. Councillor Della Torre, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 5 is declaration of interest. I'd like to declare that if the additional item is accepted this evening, that I have an interest in item 13.6. Is there any other declarations?
I'll declare an interest, Mayor, 12.1 on the agenda.
Thanks, Councillor Owen. Anything further? Thank you. Item 6 is public question time and deputations. Savon. From Young Group. Obviously with point B in Cove Hill Road, so I'll hand over to Savon and we'll hear how it's going.
Okay, thanks for your time this evening, everyone. I wanted to start with a little introduction video which we've put together. This is, we've been doing a lot of work on point B, and I think this really captures the essence of what we're trying to achieve. In essence, point B, which is located between Coastal Road and Cow Road, for those of you who are not familiar with Bridgewater here, it's a 5.5 hectare site, and we're doing an industrial precinct. We've decided to flip industry style on its head and do it like it's never been done in Australia before. What does that mean? It means that your typical industrial sites you would have seen before, there's a lot of hard stand, there's a lot of pretty basic sheds, there's fences around them and gates, and they get opened really early in the morning and it's locked up in the afternoon and that's it. But barbed wire on the top, etc. So we're not doing that. We've decided to have a look at what does Tassie do best? Manufacturing, food production, entertainment, and how do we bring all of that together and how do we energise the Bridgewater community? So there's, I guess, a lack of employment in this area, forcing a lot of locals to move to outer areas. Point B hopefully will offer an opportunity for up to 600 to 800 employment opportunities on the site. How are we going to achieve that? We're not doing the big box. Okay, the big box had really low per square metre employment. We're shrinking the boxes. We're targeting all of your tradies, your furniture makers, your soap makers, your candle makers, all of these smaller manufacturers, and giving them a place to incubate their businesses. We're going to deliver this project in stages, and we've got our first approval for our DA for stage one, and we've just recently done a design amendment. We're really cognizant of design. We don't want it to look like everything else that you've seen before. We want it to be unique. We want it to show a bit of inspiration, and we want it to add something positive to the landscape and local area. So how did we get here? So this is where our site is located. You can see we've got, we are the conduit, I guess, between residential and between some of the existing industrial. So it's a bit of a challenge. Our design needs to look after both parties and try and bring them together, but be very mindful of those residential uses. So we had a look at what does industrial look like, and how can we do it differently? What are the needs of those users and employers and employees in those spaces? So we looked at this from, okay, so when you arrive at work each day, what do you do? You do your job, stop for breaks, lunch, then you finish your day. Sometimes we like to socialise, sometimes we go straight home. We wanted to create that opportunity to be able to do most of that in the local area, and it's really not possible in the current format that's in existence. So we wanted to give people a point close to their homes. We wanted to give them something to eat at lunch so that you don't always have to bring your packed lunch. You can if you want to. And how do you collaborate with people? So small businesses, some of the struggles that they have is access to equipment, access to intel, access to marketing, business services and the like. So we wanted to try and find a way to bring all of that so that business can grow and give them opportunities to not have to leave site when they grow to a certain size so they can move into a larger premises on site and so forth. So we've precincted this to try and bring the like-minded people together. So we want to have, I guess, our trade-based style together. We want to have our food and beverage style people together. We're looking at people that are using AI and robotics in their manufacturing, their daily business opportunities. And how do they then help each other? So we've got collaboration spaces that we've also designed into this precinct so that they can access equipment that they couldn't ordinarily afford. They can rent it per hour, per day, per week, whatever. And they can share that with other people as well. So sometimes you sit down and you have a really ad hoc conversation at lunch and all of a sudden you've solved all of your work problems because you've just had a light bulb moment input from someone else. So that's really what our concept is all about. So we wanted it to look a bit different, and look, it's really cool to be able to go to a bar after work. You don't necessarily have to have a drink. Or be able to sit down and have a nice dinner. So we tried to grab the design elements from some of those really amazing spaces. And something that Tassie does really well is hospitality. We are looking at some unique opportunities of potentially having a ghost kitchen, so that for those people wanting to learn to make grandma's preserve and put that out into the marketplace, there's a commercial grade kitchen that they can actually do that with. We're looking at whether there's packaging facilities, cold store, dry store that can support those activities. And then that logistics. So this site is uniquely located, as a lot of Bridgewater is, to our major transport nodes, which will take both to the north for freight, sea freight, and also to the airport, so we can put those opportunities. So we're trying to grab all of the best things and pull it into one. We won't solve every problem, but we won't be able to do everything, but we've already got a master plan that's starting to encapsulate all of these items. I'd like to show you that now. So this is a tweak on what those of you who saw an original presentation, we've evolved. We've been speaking to a lot of users out there on what's needed. So this is hot off the press today, by the way. So we're constantly updating and evolving our master plan, and we've done this design, I guess, a little bit differently to how you would ordinarily do a project. Normally you come on, get all your boxes drawn, and then you move forward with that. So we've decided to have a lot of flexibility in this, and we've reworked this master plan design several times just to try and get it right. We're not wedded to any particular design until we actually are 100% that this is the best thing for the Bridgewater community. Our stage one, which is the area that is wrapping around, I don't know if any of you are familiar with the Polyfire building, which is in that corner piece in the white ghosting at the moment. So our stage one approval that we have are some of those darker grey boxes that are in there. So we're starting off with our smaller warehouses to encourage our makers on site first. They need less facilities to start, so they're a great place for us to start this project. I might just walk over, this might be the easiest way to point to these things. We're looking at...
You're all right, all good.
So we're looking at... This is the Cofield Road, which is your heavier industrial for this area. So we're looking at larger manufacturing-type people that can exist in those spaces and are going to interrupt our residential users. The buffer between the residential users and the rest of the site, we actually started planting that out last Friday, so we're really excited. We're going to put forward a piece for Bright Community News coming up, and it was great to see some of our local councillors and our mayor join us on site to help us out with that. And it was a genuine gesture. This is something that we wouldn't normally invest money in on a project at this early stage, so it's a genuine gesture to this local resident to show we are committed in preserving your amenity and we're genuine in what we're saying that we're going to do. Some food and bev. So we're looking at some light cafes, some restaurants. We're looking at that after-hours activation as well. It keeps things a little bit safer, that passive surveillance. Through here, we want to create a bit of an eat street. So these are your local manufacturers, your smaller people, in small spaces, but they can share some equipment and so forth as well, co-located. This is a facility that we're looking at that hopefully will contribute positively to assisting with housing affordability. And that's in the works at this point in time, so I can't tell you too much more about that yet. We're very considerate around our parking. We want to make sure we've got plenty of parking on site and then we're not spilling over into the local streets because we know how annoying that is. And often parking is one of the biggest things that I know the planners have to deal with, that is developers don't want to pay for parking. But we actually want people to come to our site, so we want to make it easy and facilitate for that. Our front door, we're still working through that, so we're hoping to have something that welcomes the local community, gives them some amenity, draws them in. We know our local community can be a little bit shy, and we want them to feel welcome. All the circular spaces that we've got around that will be a combination of park stand and really considered landscaping. We want to have edible gardens. We want to see that produce going back into the cafes. We're looking at some really innovative energy solutions that we're talking to the state government about how we can potentially even feed that into the grid for local residents to reduce their energy costs. So it's some really unique opportunities for us to achieve some great outcomes here. And the extra bits of hard stand and so forth, we've been talking to places like Pissy Glassy, Jack Jumpers to come and use those spaces and mentor the youth in the area, but make it active all the time, you know, like sports will be part of our lives. And there's some unique opportunities to
work
in those spaces. Any
questions? Sounds good. Councillors?
Good.
Really. Sort of, as I said to Trent last Friday, I mean, it's exciting, a new concept for industrial areas, and it makes us, well, makes me proud as a council that we've got someone like yourself coming in and offering something different. That will enhance the life of our community, of the people within our community.
Absolutely.
So, our plan, I believe, as a council is to make our municipality a destination of the future, and this is part of it. You know, it gives people a reason to come to our community, spend money, and it gives the opportunity for our locals to be employed locally, and all that does is give them a hand up rather than a hand out, which is what we're after.
The thing is, it takes projects like this for it to change. A few of these, then it has to be listened to. So that's all.
Yeah, most definitely. You'll hear me out about there. I get a bit noisy, and I like to advocate, and I'm pretty passionate about what I do. So I love doing things that are a little bit different.
Just to add, I had an email from Simon today.
Yeah.
Just touching base about last Friday, but also him offering his assistance in regards to trying to encourage ferries. Electric buses off the Northern Suburbs Transit Corridor to bring them to Bridgewater. So it's from me, thank you for what you're doing and thanks for your team.
Our pleasure. We're enjoying everything that we're
Councillors, is anything further?
Fabulous.
Oh,
thank you.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, councillors. Moving on, item 7 is reports from council, and item 7.1 is the Mayor's communications. I need to make two amendments to that. The Brighton Football Club AGM on the 12th, I did not attend, and the 17th, the meeting with the Show Society, I think Peter had attended on council's behalf. So just those two amendments. I'd like to mention in particular on the 25th of March, together with Councillor Owen, had the pleasure of opening the Sustainable Living Expo at Brighton Civic Centre, which was a great two-day event. Council was down there in having two different stalls, one for waste and then one for our climate change initiatives. So it was really good, and I think it was well attended over the 2 days. So it was well worth the visit. Apart from that, meetings with some politicians and obviously a few workshops. Any questions? If not, can I have someone move those communications be received? Moved by Councillor Owen, seconded by Councillor Curran. Thank you. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 7.2 is reports from council representatives. Anything to report?
Well, I did turn up to the meeting, Mr. Mayor, on the 17th. Unfortunately, a couple of Show Society people forgot about it, so I just had a meeting with the staff. We discussed quite a few things about the show and aspects of Pompville, so it was quite a good, actually, meeting, I think, wasn't it, in the hallway
in the
out there, so, up and down the corridor there. So it was one of those moving meetings, so moving up and down. So, but it was still worth me while coming down, so I don't, no regrets. So I was caught up with the staff.
Thank you.
So Callum wants to go hunting with me next time. So.
Any other councillors have anything to report?
Yes, Greg and I were invited, along with Brittany Slezak and Justin Abraham from PCYC. We were invited to attend a mentoring program for the grade sixes at the Brighton Primary.
That's
which was
good.
A very entertaining afternoon, very interesting afternoon. Yeah, so that, and apparently we're going to be invited back. Mm. So we were both very well behaved.
Beautiful.
Yeah, it was good.
Excellent. Thank you. If there's nothing further, can I have someone that those reports be received? Moved by Councillor Ryan, seconded by Councillor McMaster. I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 8 is miscellaneous correspondence. We received a letter from Minister Ferguson in regards to the letter that we sent to him last month, a letter that I wrote to all member councils in regards to the LGAT upcoming election, and a letter from the General Manager to Roger Yench in regards to the Youth Justice Detention Centre. If there's any question, or James, you want to touch on that?
I might just speak to that final letter just for context. I know we didn't have a chance to talk about it at council because of the timing, but we basically wanted to get a letter in to put the onus back on them to keep us in the loop and provide some consultation. And without having a chance to talk to councillors about it further, we just pulled the one obvious issue that was raised a few minutes ago with point B, that public transport is an issue, but really the purpose was to say keep us in the loop and we expect to be consulted on it. So just clarifying that. And we haven't heard back and we haven't heard anything directly other than a phone call after the media release had already gone out to say it was going out.
Thanks, James. As a recommendation that the information be received, moved by Councillor Whelan, seconded by Councillor De La Torre. I put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Thank you. Item 9 is notification of council workshops, and there were no council workshops held since the last ordinary council meeting. Item 10 is notice of motion, and there aren't any. Item 11 is consideration of supplementary items to the agenda. I will hand over to the General Manager. Even though I have an interest in item 13.6, if this motion gets up, I've sought advice and General Manager and Governance Manager indicate I don't need to leave the room for this particular motion. James, hand over to you.
Yeah, that's correct. This motion is purely to allow the matter onto the agenda. So that's all we're doing here.
Move. Second it.
Moved by Councillor Owen, second by Councillor Gaird. Is there any debate? If not, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Yep. Carried. Thank you. We'll insert that at item 13.6 and I'll hand over to the Deputy Mayor at that point. Item 12 is Council acting as a planning authority. Just like to remind everyone that we're acting under the Land Use Planning and Approvals Act 1993. And item 12.1 is a carryover from last week's planning authority, which is the amendment to the Southern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Strategy. I hand over to David.
Thank you. Yeah, we went through this last week, but I'll go for it again because there's a few more people here tonight. So this one, the Minister for Planning wrote to us with some suggestions or some recommendations for changing the urban growth boundary in the Southern Tasmanian Regional Land Use Strategy. They were just looking for anomalies and logical extensions to the growth boundary at this stage. So we had two areas for Brighton. One is up the top of Old Beach, just next to the area that's subject to what was actually included in the area that we investigated for the Old Beach rezoning. So that was why we put it in, because we were already looking at it. And the other area was the remainder of 69 Bright Road through to the industrial estate, which will bring the urban growth boundary of Greater Hobart to join with Brighton. There's also a text change proposed in the regional land use strategy, which would allow people to submit rezoning applications outside the urban growth boundary if it adjoins the existing urban growth boundary. There was a 2-hectare maximum. Well, there is currently a 2-hectare maximum for that, but it's getting rid of that 2 hectares. But obviously they've still got to go through a process and everything would have to come through council if they wanted to actually apply for a rezoning. So we're supportive of the text changes and the map changes. Just with the text change, though, we do have a recommendation in there just to say to the Minister that that should be actually removed once the regional land use strategy is properly updated. Because we should have up-to-date data and the urban growth boundary should be finite as long as it's regularly updated based on data.
Would that include something in there to say it must be completed every 2 to 3 years or...?
Oh, we'd hope to have... we've submitted previously that we'd like to see it legislated to be reviewed every 5 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Cool. David, just a couple of quick questions, if I may.
Yep.
This was obviously a request from the state government to change the current urban growth boundary.
It wasn't initiated
by council or any other...
That's right. So state government, they actually did approach us for some suggestions at officer level. So I wrote to them with the suggestions in here. And also three of the bigger sites that are in the Brighton Structure Plan to have the growth boundary extended over them, and they include over Jordan Downs, Alec Campbell, and on top of Clive's Hill in the old quarry. And obviously they were seen as too big to be included in this amendment.
So we did actually request those additional spaces be included?
Yep.
Yep, thank you. Just in regards to the quarry site on Baskerville Road, it's obviously our intention at some point to seek rezoning or inclusion within Stirlis into the urban growth boundary for that particular site.
That's right. So it's in our Brighton Structure Plan for it to be rezoned, and possibly even under the text changes, you could actually apply for it to be rezoned at the moment.
Yeah.
So yeah.
No, thank you. Councillors, I've taken enough time. Any questions from yourselves?
Through you, Mr. Mayor. David, do you think we're being a bit early in rezoning the area off Brighton Road given the industrial buffer?
That's not actually one that I wrote to them to suggest. I wrote there was a bit of an anomaly around the zoning of the industrial area that I said, maybe we can just fix that up, so the all the industrial zones in it, and they rung up and suggested that they join it all up. I think I don't see it as being a major issue. It is probably an area that we would want to investigate, but obviously it is sterilised until Boral, change the way they do their operation, so they'd have to be heavily consulted in anything. So there's obviously a lot of steps to go through, but I guess it does show a little bit of intent that we would like to investigate that area.
Sure. Does that impact... So is there, within that urban growth boundary, is there a total area in around Brighton that having that included would have some sort of impact on sort of other areas getting preference?
Possibly. I mean, the structure plan suggests that we need to find about 58 hectares, and that's kind of based on the footprint of Alec Campbell Drive and Jordan Downs, if that ever went into the urban growth boundary. So I guess potentially detract from that a little bit, but there's obviously a lot of hard work consolidating, trying to consolidate those rural living areas like we have in South Brighton.
Sorry, one more question. When we talked to Planning Authority the other day, I had some concerns about development above that 100-metre contour line in that area. Do you think that's something that would simply be just picked up later at a rezoning stage and development stage, and at this stage we shouldn't be making comment on that? Or
around the contour?
Yeah,
I think so. I mean, for example, in this and in other areas, you've got... There's a environmental management zone in this that will never be rezoned, and I guess, you know, that there's opportunities later to sort of mention that. So just because it's in the urban growth boundary doesn't mean that it's going to go to a general residential zone, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. And also for the chickens and land strips are part of that too, so, yeah.
It is.
And protect the fauna.
David, further to Michael's question, how far does the Boral Quarry overlay extend over that particular piece of land as well?
I'm not sure of the area, but it's... I mean, we've rezoned what we can on 69 Brighton Road, so we're right up to the edge of that, what we're proposing to do there.
So the situation with that would be totally restricted and within that zone?
Yeah.
Or that overlay?
Yeah.
It's the whole addition.
The industry.
Yeah. Councillors, any further questions? Councillor Della Torre.
Can I just check the date that submissions are due by?
Yeah, no, they did send an updated letter, and I haven't included the right one because they sent the wrong one to start off with. But it was the 14th of April, and I have it extended to Thursday.
Thank you.
Yeah. Councillors, anything further? If not, we have a recommendation on page 12. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Irons. A seconder, please.
Yep.
Seconded by Councillor McMaster. Is there any debate? Anyone wish to speak for or against? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour?
No,
it's just the Planning Authority.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Yep. Yep. My mistake. Terrible. Good pick-up. the seconder then would be Councillor Curran. Is there any debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Apologies for that. Sorry, John. Thank you. Item 13 is reports from officers, and item 13.1 is the draft customer service charter. And I'll hand over to James.
Thank you, Mayor. We discussed this a little bit last month. This is something we should regularly review. There's a few tidy-up issues we wanted to address, particularly the repetitive, vexatious communications that we can sometimes get to make our process a bit clearer. Since the agenda went out, we've had some queries from at least one councillor, Councillor Della Torre, which Janine has responded to. So I'll just throw it open to questions now to Janine or myself.
Aaron?
I might kick off. Thanks, Janine, for those amendments. The only one that I have outstanding, I think, is the habitual and vexatious complaints section about a complainant having the opportunity to, I guess, voice concerns about being listed as a habitual or vexatious complaint before that decision's made. In my union background, you'd expect to have the right of reply before being labelled as such or having a complaint upheld. I think it's just a missing part of this policy, I think, that we should be writing to the complainant, letting them know that we believe their actions fit this policy and that we are considering labelling their complaint as such before making a final decision and asking them to justify why they believe that's not the case.
Fair enough.
Although this is new, a new clause in this one, I see it a little bit the same as right information requests, and you respond accordingly to what the complaint has been about. I guess in this case, the complainant can complain a couple of times, and then when we get to the point that we feel that it does fit into this criteria, that the last time that we write the decision, we explain what the process is to either go to the Ombudsman or the Director of Local Government, which they have a right to do anyway. So that's how I see that this process working.
I think, I don't want to speak over the top of you, but I think I can see where you're coming from, that I think we are taking that as implicit, but we probably can be more explicit in here that under those circumstances they will be written to and that explained to them, and if they can justify why that won't happen or the behaviour changes, then that's reasonable.
Yeah.
So I think we could probably add a line in there to that effect, just being explicit that under those circumstances someone would be written to and told that we've made that judgment and give them the right of reply.
That would solve my concern.
Yep.
And obviously that would be a recommendation that if they're not happy with that, they can approach the LGD and the Ombudsman.
Yeah, look, in reality, we would do that, but I think making it explicit, and it does make it clearer that there is that additional step, and if someone chooses to say, oh, well, I don't want to be blanked, I will commit to changing my behaviour, then that's fine, and you give it that one last chance. So I think that's okay.
I think having that in there would save us a few headaches.
Yes.
I agree with that.
You'll save the case and paper trail of every opportunity given, which
is... Yeah.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah. Councillors, any further questions?
Is everyone happy if we amend that to that effect to make it explicit?
So just to be clear, the... reference through you, Chair, the reference or recommendation that the Ombudsman or the DLG be contacted is going to be actually written in that document? Because it might...
In the letter...
Check your emails, you might see why I asked that question.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So in regards to the letter as being vexatious complainant and refer them to?
Yep.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's a good idea as well. Yeah. It's sort of covered in other sections, but again, probably the more explicit we can be, the better.
Yep. Councillors, are you happy with that, or would you like to see the added line?
Yeah. I'm comfortable.
Thank you.
Yeah.
If the intent's understood.
Yeah. We have a recommendation that that Council adopt the Customer Service Charter in accordance with Section 339F of the Local Government Act 1993. As it has been amended and noted this evening. Is someone prepared to move? Moved by Councillor Della Torre, second by Councillor Irons. Aaron, would you like to speak to that?
Don't think I need to.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak for or against? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.2 is the Audit Panel Committee. Jill, I'll hand over to you, Greg.
Thank you, Lou. Yes, we met with the appointed chair, Rick DeSanti. Mm-hmm. He was pretty keen to add an extra person to the audit panel, either one or two. His viewpoint was in two parts. One, if he wasn't there, he thinks the panel should just keep going, and that gives them some redundancy. But also, he's an accountant. He might be one of the top accountants in the land. But he said perhaps you should also have someone with alternate skills, and usually to run a council, you know, like an engineering skills is quite important too. So he thought perhaps we should be going out to look for someone with alternate skills to himself. I think it was you, Aaron, who mentioned that it might be we've already got some good candidates,
yep.
which we do have. Those good candidates were suitable. I think they all could have done the job. In this case, it may be, if you're happy, that we do go out to tender again, or not to tender, to advertise for the position again, simply so to see other people do come with an engineering background, but also because this is not the chair and some people just don't want to be chair, but they're happy to be a participant, so you may even get more, we'll then take that person back to council to say, you know, this is who we've... we recommend the council have an opportunity there, unless you want to seek to go directly to one of the...
I am a little concerned that we have three applicants. We've awarded one and are now seeking further, but your explanation, and Jane's thanks as well, that alternate skills might be useful, I think, gives me some pause for thought, so happy to...
We will notify the previous applicants. The only other point Greg didn't make is it is common for councils to have two or three.
Mm.
It's not unusual.
We did have maybe not necessarily different opinions, but we had an interesting discussion about this. I've always felt that I have seen audit panels abused before. I've seen mayors controlling general managers through the audit panel. I've seen general managers controlling mayors and council through the audit panel, so they get their way and so the audit panel doesn't agree. It has been a position that's abused that I've seen. So in my view, it is definitely council should have control. And when you get three independents and two councillors, they have control and what's presented, and some of us have even seen where they say the budget does not go to council, it comes to the audit panel first. If the audit panel approves it, it goes to the council. I don't agree with that. I think, you know, again, you know, one of the most important things you do is the budget. So on that basis, I thought I'm more in favour if you do go more than one that you have two, so then you'll have a balance, like a stalemate in effect, but you won't be dominated by three independents. And I definitely don't think you need three accountants on there.
That's also the other point to make. When we did the committees, we didn't renew the audit panel because we didn't have a chair at the time. So we will bring that to council next month, or the finance committee, for two elected members to be on the committee. It was previously Councillor Owen and Councillor Gray. So, yeah, just have a think about that. Unless there's only two who are remotely interested and can do it tonight, but otherwise we'll bring it up next month.
In light of what Greg said, not to be outnumbered, would it be pertinent to make a decision to have three elected members and two independents, or is that going too far?
I have to go back to the Act. I think it is two that you have. I don't think you have more than that from council.
Paul would to come back to you, wouldn't
it?
Cool.
So thank you. Or it's just a stalemate, and it should go to council.
Mm.
I don't think, as a council, you ever lose the power ultimately to direct. Now, clearly, you know, if the audit's not working, the accounting's not working, you could get a direction, and you'll get a direction from the auditor general, or you get a direction from the panel themselves anyway that there's disagreement. But at least it comes back to council to make the final decision.
Mm. And it's a healthy thing. It's giving council external oversight and opinion to help us improve and find things that we don't notice because we're so used to doing what we do. So it's a good, healthy thing on the whole.
That's why the engineering expertise would be good as well.
Yeah. Yeah,
absolutely. Because a good panel is helping you. You know, they'll say to come, but have you thought about this? Have you missed anything? You know, how's your plan? Yeah, and pushes you a little bit, and you know, and we're happy for that.
It's healthy. Yeah.
I'm happy to move the officer's recommendation.
Thank you. Second. Recommendation is on page 16 if there's no further questions.
But just to further on what James is saying, did you want to appoint an order panel today, or is it best that we take that up and put an agenda item out for next month for the two people?
I think we'll do it next month because we've probably stumped everyone a bit short, so we can take it to the finance committee. Next month, but
more appropriate.
Flagging it to have a think about it.
The recommendation on page 16 has been moved by Councillor Della Torre and seconded by Councillor Geard. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.3 is the endorsement of the draft Brighton Natural Resource Management Strategy. Callum.
All right. So most of you will have attended the workshop. I think all of you attended the workshop for the draft NRM strategy on the 7th of March. So hopefully not too much to add to this one, but in effect the NRM strategy provides us with a guiding document and strategic direction over our natural resource management. The council helps us allocate resources and manage the weeds and our kind of biodiversity and natural landscape more effectively. So we'll, and back to you, Lee, to
thanks, Callum. Councillors, in your hands, any questions on this strategy?
Moved.
If not, Councillor Owen has moved that the council endorse the draft natural resource management strategy for community consultation. Moved by Councillor Owen. A seconder, please. Seconded by Councillor Curran. Is there any discussion or debate?
No.
If not, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.4 is Tasmanian Police, the Brighton Civic Centre. I hand over again to Greg.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Aaron's. Aaron had to leave early. David gone to get him back.
Why he left the room?
You're right, Greg.
Yeah, the I think the report speaks for itself mostly. The police, they're doing a major upgrade to their building in Bridgewater, so they're pretty keen to seek a rental opportunity within Bridgewater so they stay there. Their choices were very limited, and as we know, the commercial buildings in our municipality at the moment are in heavy demand. Could they go into the Civic Centre? So I think councillors are up to date on this anyway, but the idea is they're going to take one of those major meeting rooms, and there'll also be a property room which we built inside in the hallway there. That will be temporary, the property room, unless council does lease it at the end, and the rent will be on a commercial basis. So happy council discuss this.
So just a question, the one in the hallway, would that fire-wise meet the standards okay for that?
It would have to.
Yeah.
It would have to.
That's all. No, otherwise I've got no qualms. It's a good idea.
Any questions, councillors? There's nothing further. It's a recommendation that we approve TAS Police to lease the meeting room and build an office and property storage area. And also that we authorise the Deputy General Manager to negotiate a lease arrangement with TAS Police. That recommendation has been moved by Councillor Geard, seconded by Councillor McMaster. Is there any discussion or debate?
I just think visibility is such an important one. Yeah, keeping close by to there is really important.
Yeah.
So I think it's a really
totally agree.
I concur. I think it's fantastic that we can maintain. I don't think that was probably their original plan, to maintain a huge presence in our particular area. For this to happen, I think it's a real positive.
And it not only shows that, Mr Mayor, it all shows that Brighton Council's, you know, we're looking after the community and looking at the police as well, so we work hand in hand with the community and the police, so it's
commercial lease.
Oh yeah, well that's beside that's
it'll
that's,
be great for the coffee
yeah.
shop.
Greg,
oh, that's a you can't say donuts. Thank you. Without any further, I'll put that motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
Against? Carried. Thank you. Item 13.5 is the social infrastructure plan. Hand over to you, David.
Thank you. Obviously the social infrastructure plan was endorsed for a public exhibition in December. It was advertised for a little bit over 28 days. Not a huge lot of interest, only got 5 responses and no real changes to the document, just updating some text and stuff in regards to the Bridgewater Library. The recommendation is to endorse it.
Thanks, David. Obviously, this report is essentially just a blueprint for us to use in further enhancing our municipality.
Yep.
Will be used in our grant applications as a reference document more than anything else.
Yeah, I think it gives us a really good understanding of where we're at and where we need to be based on projected population, and obviously there's some priority actions in there and things for us to consider at budget time. So.
Yeah, cool. Thank you. Councillors, any questions of David? If not, we have a recommendation that we endorse the social infrastructure plan on page 25 of our agenda. Someone prepared to move?
Yeah, move.
Moved by Councillor Curran, seconded by Councillor Owen. Is there any discussion or debate? If not, I put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
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 Against? Carried. Thank you. I'll leave the room and hand over to the Deputy Mayor.
Okay, item 13.6, the Legat 2023 elections for the General Management Committee. I'm sure you've all read this and are aware that Mayor Gray has nominated for this position. It's now up to us to decide whether or not we are happy to support his nomination.
Move.
Second.
Moved by Councillor McMaster, second by Councillor Murtagh. Any questions? I beg your pardon. Councillor Owen. I can't see from here. Sorry, Phil.
Sorry.
Are there any questions or any... Any questions or any debate?
No.
No? In that case, I'll put the motion. All those in favour, please say aye.
Aye.
No one to speak against it. The
bring him in now,
recommended...
That's the end of the meeting. Close it.
I get to sign off.
Oh, you can close the meeting.
No, I can't do that.
You what? No point saying because you can listen to it.
This is coming back.
There's Hobble Harry there.
Hey,
you had a fall.
Thanks, Deputy Mayor. Moving on, next item on the agenda is questions on notice, and there aren't any. And that concludes our meeting for the month of April. Thank you very much for your attendance.